size of that.
We'll call the Gage County Board meeting to order for Wednesday, May 5th, 2021, at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the presentation of the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I was in a high school class yesterday, and they recited the Pledge of Allegiance before the class was up. It was kind of nice to see. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Haxby, Schuler, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. Up first, consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held April 21st, 2021. Approve all claims through May 5th, 2021 in the amount of $513,358.54. Accept claim number 210500057 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC in the amount of $1,959.56 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve Register of Deeds Fees report and District Court Summary Fee report for the month of April 2021. Receive and place on file Beatrice and Cortland Volunteer Fire and Rescue 2020 annual reports. Approve placing abandoned vehicle 1986 Ford Ecoline Class C camper, VIN number FDKE30L5GHB50473 on Purple Wave auction site. Approve canceling check number 210-40254 to Matthew Kosmicki Law, LLC, in the amount of $1,612.80. Approve permit number 1191 to Blue Valley Telecommunications. They will be plowing fiber optic cable 5 feet below West Greater Ditch along South 36th Road for a half mile going south along East Willow Drive in the South Greater Ditch going west for approximately an eighth of a mile. They will bore 5 feet below all road crossings and 10 feet below water flow line of culverts and drainage ditches. Handholds will be installed at the ends of the new fiber along the 33 feet right-of-way, located in the northeast and southeast quarter section 31, Township 1 North, Range 7 East, Barnston Township. Permit number 1192. To Windstream LLC, they will be boring a 2-inch diameter 5 foot below bottom of the greater ditch for 66 feet under East Apple Road to replace buried drop for service to 8325 East Apple Road, located in the northwest quarter section 11 and southwest quarter section 2, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemaha Township. Permit number 1193 to Black Hills Energy. They will be boring a 2-inch diameter, 1-inch HDPE natural gas pipe, 5 foot below the bottom of the road ditch for 66 feet for a natural gas crossing under Township Road Southwest 75th. Approximately 260 feet south of the PWF Road, located in the northeast quarter section 23 and northwest quarter section 24, Township 2 North, Range 5 East, Elm Township. Approved permit number 1194 to Norse Public Power District. They'll be boring a 2-inch diameter 7.2 kV electric line encased in a 2-inch subduct 6 foot below bottom of the road ditch for 66 feet for an electric utility crossing under Township Road Southwest 32nd Road, approximately 2,570 feet south of West Walnut Road, located in the northeast quarter section 29, Northwest Quarter Section 28, Township 1 North, Range 6 East, Paddock Township. I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'm just impressed you can do that without taking a breath.
I love not. Those permits, Galen.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Byers. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 210500057 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $1,959.56. This brings the total amount of claims approved through May 5th, 2021 to $515,318.10. This is one of my companies.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Juergens. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items. This would be the time to bring up anything not on the agenda at a later time or ask for anything for a future agenda item. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Buildings and ground, winter lights.
Dave.
Morning, Mr. Jones.
We talked about several things. The north wall repair, if we tear off that lean-to that's in really poor shape. I was going to get some bids on a block wall, and then I did talk to Masonry Construction about putting some limestone veneer on it. They asked me why would we need to use block. They could just actually put limestone block in there. So he did give me a bid for material. Was $3,360 plus $700 delivery from Manhattan, Kansas. I think that would be a really good idea. There's double doors down there, and there's like a 12-inch footing underneath those doors. He said they could just use that limestone, would be a 6-inch limestone, and just build it up and let it rest on that footing. So that would be the same type of limestone that's on the building already. It's rock-faced, and it'd be 36-inch, or 24-inch pieces of limestone. So he said he would do it for time and material on that. So I need to get a guesstimation or proposal on time that they think it would take. But I think that would be a good route to go. That way it would be look as original to the building, like those that opening was never there. So I'm going to pursue that some more. Concrete bids over at the evidence building, or like what we like to call it, the Gus Stop. I did get a proposal, one bid for the concrete work over there, tearing up the old concrete. And I still have a problem with when we tie in new concrete with some of that old concrete that's savable, but it still has some damage to it yet and stuff. I just talked to the sheriff this morning, but we're considering not having a drive go along the west side, but just to have grass. So you would have one approach on the southwest corner to pull in. They could turn around there and leave if it's a customer. Otherwise, the sheriff's, they're still parking all along the south side there. So we will work on a proposal for that.
Since it's the Gus Stop, you could take it out of his salary, right?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, Eric.
Saying anything, Sheriff.
Carpet bids out at the extension office. We're talking about doing some needed improvements out there. It'd be the restrooms, retiling the floor, and making them handicapped accessible out there. That building was 1970s, and they did the best they could to give it some space, but it looks like it's time to address that. And then as far as carpet bids, I did call for Nicole, and I heard she is gone for the next couple of days. And Don, I think you stopped out there to just see if there is any future plans that they know of on any changes out there before we proceed any further with this.
Was the carpet pricing based on the squares?
Well, I got both, actually, and there's not too much difference. I had one give bids, and they recommended the squares, and the other still recommended just the roll-type carpet. They said either one works. Carpet squares, I know, have gotten a lot better as far as not fraying on the edges. So
yeah, I know they're interested in the squares, so if there was a damage or stain or something, they could
right.
replace a square.
Mm-hmm. That does work good.
But, yeah. And I do have some other information on that. I don't know if we want to review that now or
you could run
just some
it.
Notes that I took personally in looking at the carpeting. I think it can wait. It needs cleaned. It's got spots. It's not worn all that bad under the situation we have with the Beatrice 6 judgment. There is the south entrance has linoleum that is curling and torn. That definitely needs to be replaced because it's a trip hazard right now. The main entrance into the main office, the foyer they have to keep the wind coming in and out. I mean, as you come in the building, it is small. And if we were to do anything with the floor, that should be looked at. It's hard for people to get in with walkers and wheelchairs and maneuver the two doors, and even people carrying supplies in and out or equipment. It's hard to use.
You were going to get rid of that, weren't you?
Yeah, that glass part.
You're going to get rid of it altogether?
They had asked if we could just get rid of that and just have, and they actually want to change their counter out to a little different location too, to kind of make it easier when a customer walks in for easier access.
Don, carpet in both areas, the meeting room and the office, same feeling on both?
See, those are the ones that need to have the spots and stained and look the worst. But as far as how the nap looks, and the tightness of fit yet, there's no wrinkles that we could find. And spoke with Tara Dunker, and she didn't know of any areas either that were stretched out. And I think that if we go to replace the carpeting, that's the time we want to look at repainting the walls. So then you get into another expense there. But to me, that's the time to consider those things. So That's my opinion, is to clean the carpeting, see if we can get the spots out of it, brighten it up some, and hold off until we have a better financial situation.
Emily?
This was a question. Is this out of their budget? Like, this is, you know, we kind of let each department spend their budget how they see fit. That's just a question.
They had money in their budget last year. I assume this would still come out of the budget for out there.
I'm thinking it would. I thought that they had their own.
So they did. They were watching their budget to see further capital improvement. I mean, that's a good point too. Let's keep looking at that. Maybe we could see the foyers. We did need to replace the bathrooms. That was another big thing, making those ADA accessible. Cleaning those up a little bit, basically.
The one thing I noticed that is probably as far as handicap accessible is the water cooler in the hallway.
We would relocate that also.
That needs relocated. It's a problem even if you're not disabled.
Right, yeah.
Because it just is an obstruction for people to try to two-way traffic through that narrow hallway.
Like Mr. Lytle said, maybe talk to Nicole when she's back. See what their plans are longer term, so we're not doing anything that gets undone.
Excuse me, Eric, I'm sorry. But Tara did say she thought the university liked the facility. She would be very surprised if they'd ever want to leave there, because not very many county extension offices have conference rooms in the state, and it's on the fairgrounds, so it really suits the university well.
Dave, what's the university pay to use that building year-round?
None that I know of.
No, there's no fee. They really like it.
Yeah. Well, and they, yeah, for more than one reason.
Anything else, Dave?
No, that's what I have.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance. Mr. Juergens.
Excuse me. Large ticket items are Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $33,419.89. Hamilton Equipment Company Air Compressor, $22,500. Rock On Incorporated, Rock and Gravel, $15,165.69. Engage. County Sheriff expenses, $39,838.42.
Human resources. I guess we had some discussion on personnel issues. We'll have a closed session for personnel issues again at the end of the meeting. We also are looking at hiring a assistant superintendent for the highway department. So we'll continue trying to go forward with that, as our esteemed highway superintendent is considering retiring at the end of the year. Law enforcement, emergency management. Emergency manager and sheriff are once again fighting over who will come up first.
Who's coming first? Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to give you a brief update on kind of the COVID testing right now, what's going on. Tomorrow we are actually in Crete for the second clinic of the second dose, and then we'll be here in Gage County next Thursday. So those individuals that got their shots, we had 987 that participated in them. They'll be coming up for their second dose next week for Gage County, but keep in mind anyone can travel within our district to another clinic, whatever convenient for them. So as far as Johnson & Johnson is concerned, I did reach out to Public Health Solutions. They are in the process of scheduling a Johnson & Johnson clinic. We're not certain if it's going to be demographically here in Gage County yet, but we will keep you posted. There's still quite a bit of interest in getting that particular dose, and so and they have the inventory to do so. And then Beatrice Community Hospital has renewed their Test Nebraska contract. And so that has now moved. It's still at the fairgrounds, but will be held on Wednesdays, the first and the third Wednesday of each month from 10 to noon. Same kind of contractual. It'll be given there at the fairgrounds, and but administered by Beatrice Community Hospital. And as far as continuing with those individuals that want the vaccine, Beatrice Community Hospital had had the hotline. That's no longer in use. You just call the immunization clinic now and schedule out accordingly. So, and then obviously we have Claybaugh's that are doing the federal pharmacy program. So that's still available. Nothing changes out of that. So on the emergency management side, or excuse me, on the zoning side, you had asked, this board had asked for zoning to look at the partners, the Kansas-Nebraska partnership, and we are doing that at this particular time. So we have reached out to Senator Dorn's office and also to the Homestead National Monument, to Mark Engler, and we are working on that process. And then zoning does not meet until the 26th, I believe, of May. So, and that will be for a hearing. So,
are you seeing the demand for the vaccine yet? I heard on the radio Douglas was not going to be accepting any more vaccine shipments because they weren't going through enough now.
So, yeah, there. It seems like right now they're concentrating on more micro-targeting, so going to those places of businesses, you know, that see the incentive to, you know, want to get their workers vaccinated, but being more manageable and offering it on site. So, yeah, the desire is starting to dwell down, but I don't have a percentage for you. Sorry.
Are we having any communication from our manufacturing plants?
Many of the manufacturing plants have been done. They will line that up directly with Public Health Solutions if they would like them to come down and do an on-site vaccination. So that will be coordinated strictly through them.
Good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Sheriff, I'll have you hold off for just a second. We have a timed event. We have the privilege of a veteran's honor this morning for Mr. Norbert White. I'll introduce at this time Scott Bates, and he can – he can do the introductions and lead in here.
All right. Thank you, Chairman.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome our guest today, Norbert White. He enlisted in the United States Navy, the Navy Aviation, on January 27, 1944. He completed combat air crew training school in Norman, Oklahoma, and was an air gunner course in Miami, Florida. During World War II,
come on forward, Mr. White.
During World War II, Norbert was a gunner on the German TBF and the TBM Avenger torpedo plane bomber planes that flew out of and landed on small islands in the South Pacific. Norbert was honorably discharged from the Navy in May 28, 1946. He received the Asia Pacific Area Medal, the American Campaign Medal, and the World War II Victory Medal. And he served another 4 years in the reserves in Minnesota after World War II. I know there's a lot more history there than what I have. If you want to share a few words with everyone, and
Well, first off, I want to thank everybody.
Mr. White, would you come up to the microphone? We're going to have this on record as you speak.
Right. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody. And I didn't expect this, and it's sort of new to me. But I could sit here and talk all day about oddball things that happen. All I would like to say that I was proud to serve. I'm proud of the service. And I have been treated well by the VA. So I wanted to get that off my mind and let people know that we've been well treated. I get a little emotional sometimes thinking about these things, but I guess that's part of it. I brought a few pictures. I didn't know if anybody was interested in that, of my squadron only. I was all in the Navy. Every squadron has a aerial photographer to go back in and take pictures. And well, I was selected for the schooling, I don't know. But they sent me to school in Hawaii, and I became the aerial photographer for our squadron. So I brought a picture of that with my pilot and radio man, and that. I don't know if anyone's interested, why I'd set it up here afterwards. Then I also had a number of training in a number of different categories that pertain to bombing. I was in aviation ordnance school. To become a gunner, you had to have a gunnery, some experience ahead of time, and I guess I grew up here in Douglas, Nebraska, and living off of jackrabbits them days in the 30s. And I have no regrets. I'm very proud of the service. And I would like to recommend the Navy, of course, for the young people. I think the service in the service is a great thing. Not wartime, but service in the time. And I actually don't, I could tell stories and stuff that happened, but that's neither here nor there. But I just want to thank you again for everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. White.
On behalf of the county, I would like to give you this plaque and small tokens of our appreciation for your service. Thank you very much, sir.
I thank it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I thank you.
Yeah, I'll take that. Here's that. Two things.
There you go.
There, Scott.
Yeah.
Scott.
They want you to turn that way.
Oh.
We get plenty of pictures in here. Thank you, Mr. White. It's always wonderful to honor some of our local heroes. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
This is one thing that we do that's so great.
Thank you, Scott, too, for bringing a local hero like that for us. We appreciate it.
Not a lot on the agenda here. I'm just going to touch base, let you know we have probably going to opening up the contract in for Dawson County. Our numbers are getting up there. We're going to have some more space. They were generous enough through the COVID pandemic where they did not charge us the monthly fee. So that saved us a lot of money on the jail side. So I say we're, we're full. We're full in Washington, so we're probably going to ask to have that contract just open it back up again. So basically, so that probably start next week or so is my guess.
How many inmates are you at?
We're getting close to 40, I think, total. So, yeah. Otherwise, that's about it. Remind everybody on the Purple Wave sale, when they do those, there's no charge of government. So that's all pretty much free gratis by those folks. So it's a good deal.
That is for that lightly used Winnebago sitting behind the gas stop over there.
Yes.
If anyone's interested.
Mint condition.
Do you know what date that sale will be?
No, he's guessing. He's probably going to shoot it for a government date on sale. Probably going to be late this month, first of next month.
Might want to put a tracker on that. I've seen those. Like,
those are used for lot, that's all I care about.
And other activities.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Numerous items in discussion for Road and Bridge are coming up during the regular meeting. The main thing is crews did work on Apple Road. There is still one more mile to do. Weather allowing, full shoulders, reshaped, compacted, and re-rocked. We had a discussion on the item coming up as far as motor graders and specs. We'll talk about most of that later.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens. I'd like to introduce Mr. Trevor Lee now, Engage Executive Director. He'll be presenting our quarterly report.
Good morning. First, I'm going to introduce Heidi McClintock. Heidi is our new marketing coordinator for Engage. Hails from Odell, graduate of Diller Odell. Was with the Little or Lower Blue?
Little Blue.
Little Blue for some time as their marketing coordinator, also an active member of the Guard. So we're super excited to have her on board. I didn't think it would be fair to make her give the report today because today is her first day. Actual first morning. She got the office. We came right over here.
So. Heidi, where do you live now?
Down by Odell.
Oh, you're still in Odell. Okay.
Yep.
Heidi's known her for a long time. She lives, or is going to live, she's redoing a house. And I can't think of a better, hardworking person to have on the job here. So.
Fantastic. That's good to hear.
We're happy to have her. Came very highly recommended. So.
Welcome, Heidi.
Okay, you should all have the report in front of you. I'm going to touch on a few areas specifically, and then any other questions you have, you know, you could ask me. So objectives 1, 2, and 4 are where we're going to spend most of our time today. Objective 1 is the business retention and expansion. First item, our business visit program that we do every year. Goal of 40, we're halfway there. Held off the last couple of weeks. I wanted to wait till Heidi came on board. I thought that'd be a great opportunity for her to get in and meet some of these businesses we have in Gage County. So we'll easily hit that 40. That's in addition to the online surveys we did last year through COVID. Second item on there that's highlighted, we have a number of expansions planned in the industrial park right now. The biggest obstacle is workforce, which I'll talk about, which I know everybody's hearing that crunch. But several projects that we help where we can. That bottom item has prompted a lot of really good discussion as far as the Career Academy and touch on some things with the youth later on in the report. We discussed at the last council meeting and some things were said that upset the school, kind of ruffled some feathers as far as a little bit out of context, but the suggestion as it read was that they weren't doing anything, and they sure are doing a lot of great things with the high schoolers. But it is going to prompt some meetings with the manufacturers in our county. In our high school, and hopefully multiple schools, including Southern, to really get a better grasp of what they are doing to connect kids with our manufacturers and what's changed since the last time they sat down with our manufacturers, especially in terms of OSHA laws and those things. So I see some really positive coming out of those sit-downs with our schools and our employers. Objective 2 that I'll touch on is the new business attraction. As of the date of this report, which is April 15th, we had about 15 active projects. A couple have fallen off, a couple have come on, so we're still right around that 15 number. No mega projects like we discussed in the last few meetings. These are better projects, in my opinion, a bit more doable as far as workforce is concerned. The only other item I'll touch on that objective, we hope to hear back in the next week or so about a grant that I mentioned at our last meeting from Nebraska Public Power District to do a master plan for the Hickory Industrial Site. That would be a matching grant, one-to-one. We applied for $25,000, and we set aside $25,000 of private member funds to leverage for that grant.
I noticed in the last day or so they've been working like crazy on the StarCraft site.
Yes.
They've been out there doing really good.
Yeah, that's gonna be a great opportunity, and that's one of the 15 active projects we have right now. So
that's great.
I'm very hopeful for that one. And the big one that's taken a really involves some special projects over the next, well, throughout the year is Objective 4 on the people attraction and skilled workforce availability. One thing I'll touch on, I don't know if I mentioned it to this body or not, but we are rolling out this late spring, early summer, the opportunity here, online digital campaign. What that is we've contracted, again, this is private member funds. We were able to leverage for this. Contracted with Digital Sky out of Lincoln and doing some really high-quality videos for some of our members, for example, NEAPCO, Precise Fabrication, Rosine Machine. With that, we also contract with Golden Shovel for all of our website activities, and they're creating some really great custom content and articles. So our goal is to get this, and really the goal and the message in this video is we have opportunity here for our young people, great careers that don't require a mountain of debt and a four-year degree. We have employers that will put our kids through school and really make a great career for themselves. That's the message of these videos, and the reason we're going digital with these is, one, we found how vulnerable we were with COVID as far as not being able to get our kids into the facilities like we would with, say, October Manufacturing Month, as we've done in the past, but also to get it in front of their parents. You know, that's really important to us. So I'm excited to see what that looks like, and that'll be a great topic of discussion as we sit down with our employers and our schools. Another thing we're rolling out just this last week is a wage survey. We've had a number of manufacturers ask if there's any really wage and benefit survey so they could benchmark where they're at. You know, they, as far as they know, they're in line with what, you know, say Lincoln wages are or down south, and there really isn't that resource. You can get labor data in these things, but the smaller of a geographic area you hone in on, the more sampling's done with that data and the less really accurate it is. So we're doing just a basic wage survey with all manufacturers that are willing to participate within 1 hour. It's confidential, but as a participant, they will get a custom report back with where they're at and then where similar occupations are. It's going to be a bit more work than I anticipated because we had such a good turnout because everybody wants this information. So we've got, you know, think about NEAPCO with 25 different job descriptions and trying to how do you compare a welder at NEAPCO, say, versus Precise Fab or Rosine. So,
well, and they're advertising on the radio now, live, you know, what their salary rates are, and so they can let people know what they can earn, whether they're a welder or...
Yep, and we found that, and this was brought by, you know, Landmark Snacks is one of the companies, and Chad's on our board. They're talking to other employers a little bit, you know, where are you at, here's where we're at, but this is a bit more formal process.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing will be the 2.0 version, or the phase two will be the benefit survey, and that's going to be interesting because right now on this survey, we are asking, do you offer health insurance? What's the deductible and what percentage do you pay? Just a very high level. We'll dive more into the other benefits, vacation time, those things on a secondary survey.
That's great.
And the last thing I will touch on for this report and this objective is the Communities for Kids campaign. Communities for Kids is a program through the Nebraska Children and Families Foundation, which is an affiliated fund, I believe, of the Nebraska Community Foundation. It's a three-year grant, $30,000 total. Right now we're looking at it just city perspective, but as I develop a core team, it might be countywide. What they do is they come and help us really take stock of our early childhood infrastructure, especially 0 through 5, whether it's development, social services, child care, especially for those third shift single parents. They really help us take stock of how we're doing, what are we doing well, where are the gaps, and here's some ideas to maybe fill those gaps. And with that, we have a core team of your typical suspects and maybe your not-so-typical suspects. So Heidi came in right at the right time. We're going to be completing that grant in the next week and submitting that off. I don't see that as necessarily an engage activity, but I think one thing we are good at doing is bringing people together and kind of facilitating that and seeing what entity or organization might take the lead on that, depending on what that looks like. So that's what's going on. Do you have any questions for me?
Are you coordinating with the school and the school board as far as the students are concerned and
yep.
preschool?
We have representation from the school on that core team, absolutely, including okay. the preschool. So preschool will be on there. We'll have in-home care providers involved. We'll have, you know, your major employers. You know, one piece that we don't want to miss is the homeschool community that is growing, as well as the parochial school. So they will all be at the table as far as that steering committee.
Good. Relationships, relationships, relationships.
Yep, absolutely.
When you do start releasing those videos, will you send one over to Dawn so she can send it to the board?
Absolutely.
I've seen the first one, and or bits and pieces, I guess, of the first one.
Was it the Rosine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dennis is good in that one, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. local star here. And they're going to be great videos. I mean, they really look positive, and we need some marketing for our area, so I'm looking forward to these, hoping they're good. Kids don't read the paper like they used to, so they do watch videos and YouTube stuff and anything we can do to spark interest. I would really encourage you to keep working with the high school. I was at a class yesterday, an entrepreneurship mm-hmm. class, and right next door, some type of school-to-work class, there were several kids that had put in their notices that they were not going to be finishing or you're not going to be working anymore, and they had a requirement to work through the end of the year. So that was mm-hmm. a huge blow to the teacher, because that's a big mark against those kids. We need to keep a lot of those kids that are ready to go into the workforce mm-hmm. here in the community. There's jobs, good paying jobs. We just need to find a way to keep them here.
Yeah, need to do like a signing day for them when they go into the workforce.
That's fantastic too. Yep. That wage survey, you said within an hour, is it all just strictly manufacturing, like the X mark, the land, all
this,
stuff like that?
At this time it is. It's just your manufacturers. That's who we're hearing the most from. And, you know, what we found is, you know, for those entry-level jobs, they still pay well compared to when you look at our median wage in Gage County. But you don't get a lot of commuters coming into town for those entry-level jobs. The front office jobs or those more experienced ones, it's $20-$25 an hour. You get commuters for those. But anywhere $14-$18 an hour, they're not able to pull people in for those jobs.
Well, I want to thank Trevor. Welcome, Heidi. This Engage, I'm still really happy with the way everything's going. It's fun to see the behind-the-scenes on things. I can guarantee every day they're doing things that we may not hear about or see or talk about even, but it's that backdoor facilitation that really, really helps bring business in. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Thanks for your support.
Mr. Chairman, move to place the third quarter Engage report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Byers. Place the report on file. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Thank you, Trevor.
Let me stay up here for the next
Might
item.
Might as well. Okay. Up next, approve or disapprove the agreement between the City of Beatrice and the County of Gage and Engage for a 3-year term commencing on July 1st, 2021, spanning through June 30th, 2024. This will be an identical agreement to what we have had the past 3 years. The only difference is actually the dates. Roger took a look at that. Didn't have any issue with it. I guess it'd be my recommendation we continue this for another 3-year term.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Byers. Any discussion on this contract? We're letting you off really easy.
I guess, because Heidi's here, is that why?
Must be. Start her out easy. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you.
I think there's a reduction in salary in there for you, though.
What's that?
I think there's a reduction in salary.
Yeah, usually. Yeah, sounds about right.
That's only one voice out of 7. I'll vote for a raise.
Ooh.
Approve or disapprove right. visitor improvement grant application for Blue River Water Trail Access Point Project in the amount of $25,000.
Does anybody need a copy of the grant app?
I think I printed out.
Okay, perfect. So this application is for the Blue River Water Trail Access Point.
Could you identify yourself, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, Kristen. Could you give your name for the record?
Sorry. I'm Kristen Jensen, the tourism coordinator from Cache County.
It's a matter of record.
Yes.
I would take a copy. I don't know what I did with mine. I know I had one here.
Do you have one?
We got an email.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know that it's
in, past, yeah.
In here.
Well, maybe I didn't have that one.
No, I sent them out, but
thank
I
you.
Didn't think I emailed them because there's a big packet.
I know I read on Monday.
Well, yeah. Maybe I can see the plans better on here than I can. Thank you.
Oh, that is the one I read. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I remember doing this.
It is a lot of paper. Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So this project is for the water trail. So this would be like kayaking, canoes. And it is, let's see, how do I describe this? So this would be just south located on West Court Bridge, kind of by Memorial Park, I believe. And this would be a really big deal for us because here in Gage County for tourism, we have a lot of that historical, you know, museums and things like that we're really good about. But recreational tourism is really popular right now in kayaking, especially coming off of COVID, everyone's really, really big into that right now. And in the future, that would be a really good thing for us. We have the river here in town, which is a really big attraction for people locally for fishing and kayaking and those types of things. But if you're coming from out of town, you definitely need to have like a local connection in order to do those things legally. So this project would be aimed at creating that infrastructure for water access so that it would be safe. And obviously legal for our visitors. Originally, when they applied for this, they applied for $25,000. But when we were talking to them with the Tourism Advisory Committee, they mentioned wanting to be ADA accessible and that would be an additional cost. So while we were talking with them, we made a motion and seconded to approve to raise it from $25,000 to $30,000 in order to accommodate those changes. And I brought along Michael Sothen from Main Street and Taylor Rivera from the city. If you had any questions for them, they know all the little details.
Michael, do you have anything you'd like to, or Taylor?
Sure.
Please give your name for the record. Mr. Byers.
Hey everybody, my name is Taylor Rivera. I'm the new city attorney for those of you I have not formally met yet. But yes, this project has been one that's really kind of been overdue is kind of how we feel about it. We've got the Big Blue River as a really big natural outdoor recreational resource that really hasn't been put to good use. One of the things that really kind of sparked this conversation was last year the YMCA put together a kayak event. And with that, we had over 100 kayakers on the water that day. Many of whom came from well outside our city limits. Lincoln, I think we've had some from Grand Island, Kearney, some even from Omaha. So as Kristen mentioned earlier, that's a really hard thing to accomplish if you want to come down to Beatrice for kayaking any other time whenever there's not a specific event because we don't have very many. We don't have any access points for the public. So unless you know somebody who you can go on their back through their backyard or something like that, you don't really have a good legal access point to enter the river. And then on the safety side, each homeowner can have their docks or whatever in whatever shape that they want. We would like to try to provide at least the starting point to have something that's not only legal but very safe for people to enter onto. We are looking to do this as a number of communities that we studied have really bought into their own access points, which has brought a lot of business in. You know, people want to open up outdoor, like outfitter shops, things of that nature. And so we feel that not only would this bring a number of people, from outside the county for just the kayakers, but it also brings in other side businesses, auxiliary businesses, using our hospitality businesses here locally We feel like that would be a big boost, particularly since we've already got a huge number of people coming in during the summer for our ball tournaments and everything. You know, they see the river and they don't see a lot of, you know, people on it or access to it here, and so we would like to try and open that up and at least be the first, hopefully, to start what we would hope to be a number of trails, you know, further south as you go along the river. We feel like if we are the pioneer in this, then we could eventually work this out to be a multi-county trail that everybody can use. And with that, I guess I would take any questions you guys have.
You'll notice our attorneys are not injured like you are. We take good care of them.
So that, Michael, will you give your name for the record?
Yeah. Michael Sothen, Main Street, Beatrice. And definitely this is a project that we've been really fortunate to be able to work with the city of Beatrice on, but also already starting to make plans with the village of Blue Springs and others to try to see this expanded upon. So this is something that we definitely want to see that will start here in Beatrice, but hopefully will carry out to other parts of the county. That's definitely something I think is important to note. A real quick, I guess, point of clarification. With these river access points, they actually don't fall underneath ADA standards. But one of the things that we had a conversation with the Gage County Tourism Commission or Committee is that we want to try to make these as accessible as possible. It may not be full ADA as we're thinking for like access to a building like this, but that we are trying to make sure that the type of aggregate that's used and just the grading and everything else makes this more accessible by more people. It may not be fully accessible for all people with all disabilities, but that we're certainly trying to target being able to make this more accessible than certainly what it is right now. But even beyond that, we've toured examples of this that are out in Kearney and other communities. And we've taken some folks that have dealt with different access, even with those, and have looked at ways to improve upon designs that are in other communities to make sure that this project will be able to meet that. And that was that conversation with the tourism committee. So it will not be fully ADA accessible as far as like paved concrete, but that it will have the type of aggregate that makes this more usable by more people, especially those with like MS and other different things. Those have been part of the conversations over the last few years that we've been doing with this. Besides the YMCA thing, this actually also spurs out of a joint project that identified Gage County as having that access to strong recreational opportunities. We already talked about our sports with the ball tournaments and other different youth and college sports with SEC, but then also the outdoor recreation. We've got a really strong outdoor recreation starting to build with the Standing Bear Trail, the Homestead Trail, and this is one of those great things that can really draw people from hundreds of miles and hopefully really have an economic output that really far exceeds the investments that we're putting into this. And so definitely, and thank you guys for your interest in this project. Really appreciate the partnership with the city of Beatrice and helping bring this to our community, and certainly hope it's an economic opportunity that we can seize, and we can certainly hopefully get it started with your support. So with that, I guess any last chance for questions?
What's going to happen to these sites if the river floods?
Yeah, so that's a great question. When working with the city of Beatrice, that's been probably one of the biggest questions is, we know the river floods. We know it rises in level, not even just flooding, but regularly. And so that's been a part of the conversation. Papio NRD has several of these along the Elkhorn. The Elkhorn River has a lot of similar tendencies. Kearney's actually went through a 100-year flood event not too long ago. If you guys remember all that flooding in the south part of Kearney, that's where their kayak access is. It was underwater. So these things are designed to be able to do that. That's part of the expense. There's a lot of riprap. There's a lot of bank stabilization. They've been engineered specifically to be able to handle that. And essentially, an Army Corps of Engineers has approved a permit for this as well. But the idea is that it's engineered to a point that, yeah, floodwaters come over. You scrape out the silt. You might have to put down some new aggregate. But that's really about the extent of it. And so maybe it's a little bit of limestone chat, something like that has to be relayed. But that's really hopefully the extent of the damage, even with a 100-year flood event. With the first access point, which is what this is helping put in, would be right there at the West Court Street Bridge. That bridge abutment would also protect it. It's also on the inside curve of the river, so a lot slower current. The other access point is actually in partnership with the Beatrice Boat and RV Club, which is down in Holmesville. And at that location, it's a little bit more exposed to that, but it's also on a straight portion of bank. And so it really doesn't get as much high action there either. But it will be designed to handle those events. There's always going to be some maintenance that's going to be ongoing. And luckily, the city of Beatrice, for this access point that will be in town, the starting point, is agreeing to take some of that on.
Michael, that's the Holmesville one's not part of this grant, though, at all, is it?
We've been in talks with them that they're going to be accessing that, but it will be done separately. So as far as the funding for this, this is for the one that's here in Beatrice. But if you put people on the river, you've got to have a safe and just as effective of an access point, of an exit point. Luckily, they've already developed, for the most part, a ramp that accesses in and out of there. They're putting on boats, they're putting on canoes, kayaks already there. There is definitely some work going on right now to make sure that they've got enough funds to continue to maintenance that in those events of high water. And so but luckily it's already there. They've already got the graded bank, you know, it's already established. So there's not as high of cost, but yes, for right now, this is going from Beatrice to Holmesville. And then we're hoping, I know there's already conversations with the city of Blue Springs to go from Holmesville, south side of the dam. You have to portage around it, can't go over the dam. To continue on down. And so that's another thing about this is this will also be paying for some of the signage of some of those hazards, like the Holmesville Dam, like the Lowhead Dam right here in Beatrice, and other things like that. So,
Mr. Lytle.
Michael, this is probably more for you than the other two. Was it Project 2025? Do you remember what I'm talking about? Phil Cook brought it up. We had that group that was wanting to do the river projects.
Yeah, Vision 2020. So,
yeah, there you
so,
go. Okay.
So yeah, so this has been talked about in Beatrice for, decades. I mean, in all honesty, Beatrice used to use the river for recreation all the time. You guys even have pictures of steamboats and other things here on your walls of Beatrice using the river. That's fallen out of use. It kind of got big again in the 70s and 80s, but then again, it wasn't invested in. We didn't have any opportunities to go anywhere. We had all these dams. We had things, but the long stretches, like between, say, Beatrice and Holmesville, there was no opportunity. And so that was something that was part of those vision plans. Unfortunately, it just never got off the ground. So that's what you're seeing here before you is an effort to get started there. And flat out, you know, as Taylor and Kristen both said, being able to have legal access, you know, that's been when we NRDs signed on to this, they're helping with this as well. But that was one of the big questions that their board had and some of the farmers that they've talked to is, you know, wanting to make sure that they don't just have people just swarming over their own property, you know, that's trespassing and things like that. So being able to have clearly identified points of entry and exit will really help with that. Because right now we have people that are just heading out there and going down the river, and they're just finding ways to do it. There's not a huge number of them, but there are people out there on the river, which is a good thing, but we just need to be able to channel it appropriately.
In Vision 2020, there was discussion of removing the dam under the West Court Bridge and removing the dam down. Is that part of this?
Not right at this point.
Long term.
In the future, I think it definitely needs to be part of the conversation. For example, in Iowa, their equivalent of their NRD system has been very aggressive with river access development. They are removing those low-head dams. And they're not just removing them. They're actually creating them into white water features. So you create a series of drops, which provides a recreational asset. It improves safety. So if you get in trouble, you just wash through it. But you don't get stuck in the undertow. And at the same time, it increases recreational opportunities for fishing because our native fish can actually swim up those types of currents, but they can't jump a dam. Nebraska fish, for some reason, aren't good at jumping, but they're good at swimming. So imagine that. And so it just is something to try to help out with all of that. So eventually that needs to be part of the conversation. Price tag on that, though, is probably going to be larger than this.
We do have that nice rapid feature down at Blue Springs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to Michael a little bit about the other areas. We've got county property on the sides of the dams. Liability is always an issue, so, I mean, that'll be something we have to look at. But these funds also, Don, can you explain where these funds come from? These are the...
The lodging taxes that split equally for our chamber that gets half and then it goes into the visitor improvement grant.
So this isn't property tax. These aren't taxes we take from the local landowners. These are from hotel stays, lodging tax. Just so the public knows, this isn't frivolous money we're spending. These are dollars set aside by the state specifically for tourism. So the rules that go along with that is, I mean, there are multiple rules, but one of them is, will it potentially bring in tourism? And I really thought these kayak things were silly, but people do. They kayak around. I've talked to a lot of people that like them. I'm probably going to try it sometime.
Yeah. We have not paid for an economic study here, but similar communities in Iowa that are a similar distance from metropolitan areas are seeing between 500,000 and 1.5 million increased sales in their community as a result of this. I know in Kearney, they've developed a kayak access point. Their outfitter alone was grossing well over $500,000 a year in kayak rentals. The majority of his customers are coming from Lincoln and Omaha. I think you guys can all do the math with me. We're a little bit closer to those communities than Kearney is, and so hopefully it does provide an economic opportunity for us.
Well, I'd like to make a comment, and I just learned something here from what Eric just told me as far as where the money comes from and where we can use that money, because my first response was that we're paying off a debt, a $25,000 grant for a boat ramp. For me personally, would not be a priority when we have that kind of a debt and we have many infrastructure needs of our own. I do love the idea. My son wants to kayak. He's recently bought one. I'm looking for one so we can do things together. I'm happy about the idea and all the work you've put into it. It sounds great. But although with what has just been explained and maybe, you know, I'm learning here, prior to learning this information, I'd have to say I was going to vote against it.
This money is set aside, though, for projects like this, whether it's there's been a lot now. There was talk from the board, we're always putting money into Beatrice. I would like it even more if we were putting this money into Blue Springs, Holmesville, some of our other communities outside of the corporate city limits of Beatrice. But Beatrice is putting money into this as well. They've done the design work.
And in that application, please look, there's two letters from the Blue Springs, one property at a time, and also the mayor of Blue Springs supporting this project, because they flat out said they really need something to build off of. They really want to see Beatrice kind of pioneer it, and then they want to be able to try to take advantage of it. They didn't really want to be the first ones to dip their toes in this, but they are definitely there's a reason why they supported this grant application. And so to that point, you know, they're kind of like, hey, we want Beatrice to try to help draw them down here, and then we think we can do a better job of, you know, keeping them here.
Amanda, I'm a bidder on this project, or I'm a subcontractor on this project. Is there any conflict with me voting for this?
Potentially. You'd probably be better to.
Okay. Mr. Lytle?
A couple things. Kristen, question for you, just to update the board. The balance that's in the fund that this would come out of?
I don't have it with me.
Rough balance off the top of your head.
I believe last time it was around 90.
We've got over 100,000 in there. I mean, there's some obligations yet that haven't been submitted for payment, but yeah, you're covered.
The other thing is that, as was stated, we've got it on the agenda for $25,000, and that number needs to be $30,000.
It's $25,000 too. The grant here reads $25,000.
Yeah. So when they this was the initial application that we received from them for $25,000, and when we were with the committee talking about the amount that they requested, they had talked about making those changes to make it more accessible, which is really important to our committee. So there was a motion made to give an additional $5,000, and that was seconded and approved by our committee. So it would be for $30,000.
And Kristen, the committee approved it?
Yes.
How many of them voted for it?
Oh, there was five. It was unanimous. Everyone voted, so.
Thank you.
Yes, sorry.
Do we need an amendment to this, then, if this is what we have?
Can I just put it in a motion to amend it?
That's exactly how I would address it.
Yep. So I'll make a motion to approve the visitor improvement grant application for the Blue River Water Trail Access Point Project in the amount of $30,000.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on this? After talking to council, just because I'm a contractor on this project, I'm going to abstain, but I think the water projects along the river are really good. Dennis Schuster, he talked about a boat ramp forever.
Yep.
And I really thought it was going to get done before he left office, but it didn't. Talking to Kristen and Michael really, really steered me towards this too. I think there's a lot of potential over the next few years here for the river, and this could be a starting point, not just in the kayaks, but the different types of recreation that can be used here. Instead of a dirty little area down by the river, we want to make it a vibrant, nice area.
The only thing I would add, Eric, is that we bring in a lot of people, as they brought up the ball tournaments, we bring in a lot of people from baseball and softball, whether it's young kids or it's Legion or it's college. You see a lot of people come into the community. And one of the things that I hear occasionally is that, you know, well, we've been out to the homestead, or, you know, when we have homestead events going on, that some of those people are doing both things. So bring something like this in. I think it's very viable in the fact that you got active people coming into the community for those events. This is something that can draw them back for another trip. So I think it's a good project.
We've got people ready to try to set up some of those outfitter-type stores already. So that's great. We love to spend people's money. That's a way to generate some more. Any additional comments? If not, I'd ask you to vote. 6 in favor with team and abstaining.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Let's see. Up next, approve or disapprove the resolution to revise the 1 and 6 year road and bridge plan on project identification number C-34-1216. Location north side of sections 15, 16, 17, and 18, Blakely Township, 4 north, range 5 east. This is, of course, putting the additional miles, approximately 4 miles, Hickory West, on the 1 and 6 for potential development down the road somewhere. I guess first I'd ask for a motion and a second before a discussion.
Resolution 21-08.
Second.
Moved by Haxby, second by Dorn, and this would be resolution 21-08. At this point in time, we don't plan to pave that area. We've talked to Engage. There's the area that they may develop on the north side of Hickory, approximately a mile west of what's currently paved. This would actually also connect us between Highway 4, Highway 77, and 103 in that industrial area of Hoyg. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, I would ask for a vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Yes.
One thing I'd like to bring up with Galen here, different from this, but it jogged my memory.
Okay.
As if we get with the state and figure out a way to mark Hickory Road coming off of 77 a little better than, I don't know how to do it, but we need to do something better, because I've had several people, and I'd do it myself, coming down 77, and that dang thing's on you pretty quick. I know there's the marker out in the middle and whatever else, but I don't know if we need a flashing light there or something. Just if you would look at it and see if you can't work with the state and figure out a way that we can mark that a little better.
I totally agree.
Are you going to try to do something then, Galen, on that?
Yeah, I can talk with him and see it. Also, the city needs to be involved with that first half-mile stretch in
right.
The cities.
Correct, yep. Yep, good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just a quick review, Resolution 21... 2023-08 did pass 7-0. Up next, accept, reject, or award bids from two motor graders. I guess we've accepted the bids. Now we'll have discussion on those. I would ask for a motion to approve bids. Or I guess, do you want to do a recommendation first and then go from there? Galen, do you want to come up and kind of go over what you found? I suppose give your name for the record also. I'm going to step out for just a couple seconds and be right back. In
okay. Galen Engel, Highway Superintendent. On the bids, we did have three bids for the motor graders. NMC, Murphy Tractor, and A1 Iron. And by going over the bids, I guess it'll be my recommendation to award the bid for two 2021 motor graders to Murphy Tractor and Equipment Company for two John Deere 2021 770 GP motor graders with the standard circle for a total cost of $495,136. There being the bid that met all the bid specifications.
And Galen, this was the Murphy alternative bid on everybody's yes. sheet.
I guess we gotta wait for the boss man to get back.
Any
well,
other questions?
What's the weather like, Galen?
He's here. We don't need him.
Okay.
Daddy can run the meeting.
Oh, there he is.
I'm supposed to get that.
He's
back.
Okay. Oh, God. Thank goodness. You almost had me. I had to go to work.
I don't know how to do that in meetings.
Galen, would you go through, and maybe you did already, would you go through what met spec, what didn't make spec? Because we talked about this a little bit, Terry, you and I.
Okay. Well, basically on the Caterpillar, the spec that wasn't met on then was the horsepower spec. Their horsepower was, let me find Cat here. The specification was net a horsepower of 252 horsepower. And hold on a second. And Caterpillar's net spec was 231 on that. And then on the Saney motor grader with A1 iron, the specs that the two, I guess, main specs that found didn't meet the requirements was number one, the specifications had low profile cabs, and theirs did not meet that spec. I mean, we didn't have a measurement in there, but it's definitely not a low profile cab. And then they also, the other spec was the moldboard. Their specification. The spec was for the mold board was 1 inch thick by 27 inches high by 14 foot long. Their spec did not list a thickness, but their height was 24.41 inches high and 14 foot long. I did go up and me and two other people from my department went up in Seward County and did view Saney Grader. And I did, while we were up there, ask the gentleman what the thickness was on their spec, because it didn't have it in their brochure, and nobody really knew, so somebody got a tape measure and put a tape on it, and they, I don't remember the exact comment made, but was, they said it's not an inch, so I can't tell you the exact thickness of it, but those were two of the main specs on the other graders that didn't meet.
Do you, Terry, do you want to have anyone talk about any of the machines or do you have any questions for the suppliers?
I have one other thing. I guess I should, with my recommendation on the two John Deeres with the standard circles, that was based on if they still had them. So that's one thing we need to confirm, that they are still available as of right now.
And that was what I was going to say. I mean, Galen had spoken to the rep yesterday, and at that time, these two alternatives were still there. They're on the ground. Availability would be quick, which was we've got one down, and we're in probably need of something sooner than later.
And the horsepower on the John, on the Caterpillar, that was very close, but the dollar amount, the John Deere was less money than the Cat?
Yes, the total cost for the Cat with one trade-in was $530,418.50. The total cost for the two John Deere's was, like I said, $495,136.
And Galen, to clarify that, Caterpillar accepted one trade, and John Deere would accept both.
Yes.
But apples to apples, one trade, the John Deere was still $6,000 less than the Cat.
Oh, with just one machine trade? Yes, they're...
Just to try to be fair to Caterpillar.
Their alternate with one trade was $524,136 for John and Murphy Tractor.
And that was with a smaller machine, right? The one that didn't meet spec?
Less yes. Horsepower.
Yes, these are all compared to the Caterpillar 140 that was bid with a horsepower rating of 179 to 231 horsepower on the Cat.
Mr. Juergens?
Oh, if you got something to say, say it.
Well, no, I was just going to ask if there's any question, any additional questions.
Well, I guess, are there any other questions I should ask? First off, I'd like to thank all three companies for the time and work they've put in for this. I know that takes time, takes a lot of time in coming up with these bids. But it would be my recommendation, if available, we would go with the Murphy alternative bid, including two trade-ins for $495,136.
Is that as a motion?
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Juergens, second by Haxby, for the two John Deere's on the alternate, including the two trades.
Did you check the John Deere at the Adams barn?
No, I didn't have one available to check it at the Adams barn. Originally, we checked it at the Claytonia barn because that's where one of the machines will go, because that's where the John Deere trading comes from. But I never have checked it at the Adams barn.
Mr. Juergens?
One other thing, with the Murphy supplier being here, can we ask, are those two machines still available as far as you know?
As far as I know. I'm not
okay.
Turned in a sales order this morning.
Okay.
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 They should be available.
Okay.
Don, you want to explain where this cash is coming from?
I know it just went on, but... Galen's budget and one out of inheritance?
Currently, that's...
both out of Galen's budget right now.
Currently, I guess my goal would be they'd both come out of Galen's budget. We're getting closer to the end of the year. I haven't looked at your budget exactly to see if that works yet, but that was kind of that's the hope so far. Surprise.
I'll do some checking.
Well.
But, I mean, we'll look and...
It'll just come out of the budget. If we have to adjust later on, we adjust later on.
That was my intention. They would come out of Galen's budget, but things can change real quickly down there as far as materials and everything else. But in the past, since Galen's been in charge, that road and bridge has never went over budget.
Galen runs under budget on a yearly basis.
And I told Galen to wing it, and we'll be just like the sheriff's office then.
Sheriff's going to make it this year. He's going to make it. He made it last year, too.
I was going to say, Sheriff's been pretty good.
The sheriff and the jail both made it last year.
Sorry, God.
Don't jinx us.
No, it's...
But right now we have appropriate cash in the budget.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. Then our
I would say we have a motion by Juergens, second by Haxby, to go with the Murphy alternate bid for $495,136. Reason being specifications, going through things, and price. Any additional discussion before we vote? on that, then I would say please vote. 7 in favor, the motion carries. I want to thank each of you also for bidding. We have a new bidder that we haven't had before, and I'm guessing we'll be seeing you guys again in the future also. Caterpillar just got just barely nicked out this time. Really, really close between you two, so thank you. At this time, I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10 o'clock. Necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
For personnel discussion.
For personnel discussion. Ask for a motion.
Motion.
Wasn't on the agenda.
Moved by Haxby.
Second.
Second by?
Anyone?
Byers. Please vote. 7 in favor. We're in closed session at 10 o'clock.
Eric, you want some coffee?
A closed session.
Stay like we are.
I need a motion to come out of closed session at 10:03 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers. Second by Lytle. Please vote. 7 in favor. That was a really quick closed session.
Yeah. Glad I got everything I wanted.
Amanda, what do we have to do to have him talk to us not on the agenda?
He's just a committee meeting.
Just go back to committee. We're not going to have an agenda item. We're just going to have you speak to us.
There we go.
And tell us, we can go back and forth what we can do here. Joe Blackburn's here at Blackburn Technologies. We've been looking at what we can do for some technology in here. We don't need play-by-play like the city, but we have had requests for live streaming to Facebook or whatever you live stream to. We'd probably like some type of cameras for that. If there's something that we do want to put on screens, possibly some type of screen behind us for them, and then maybe a screen on that side for us.
So what stinks about this room?
It's all space.
And
Well, yeah, but obstruction. So the Facebook stuff, streaming is one way, okay? For everyone else to see, no big deal. That's easy, okay?
Okay.
Everyone's just looking at you, listening to you. It's if someone wants to WebEx in and you listen to them.
What's WebEx in mean?
So, like, say they want to attend the board meeting in California.
Offsite.
Offsite.
I don't think that that's possible with Open Meetings Act. I'm pretty sure you have to. I think they made an exception when it was COVID, but I think all we're going to do is just for a
we can
visual.
Right now still, but it's not. Well, who knows? It might be forever. But
is that? Excuse me, but is that just for a vote or for participation, like to be able to testify or express?
I think it's more to like present to you, yeah. Like say that it's a sales bid or something.
So in that regards. I don't much about it, but I'm thinking the only thing that was illegal by the Open Meetings Act was having a vote on something. Am I incorrect with that?
Even the quorum or anything, it's an exception right now.
Yeah, and that's talking about board members. That's not referring to the public participating.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So what stinks is let's say someone does, as off-site, wants to present to you, and we have screens on the back for you guys to watch, and they present like a PDF, you're not going to read it. You know what I mean? It's gonna, even on a 60-inch TV, it's going to be pretty small print.
We can hang a big TV off that post.
But then it gets in the way of the camera.
Yeah.
So this room stinks.
I guess for what I was thinking for streaming-wise would just be a live feed on the website. Mm-hmm. We don't have to upload it. We don't have to record it. Just have the live feed, and then you can upload just the recording like we've been doing.
We don't want any additional stuff that we have to download to something else. But
so, like, what we did down in Lisa's room, a computer runs it, which is another thing someone has to do. It actually brings up the feed, makes it live. But there is a pan-tilt camera that just sits on the shelf. It's not automatic. Someone actually has to move it if you want and zoom in, if you want to zoom in on one person talking. And they're kind of expensive right now. It's a $700 camera, but COVID pricing makes it $950. Gouging, I think they call that. But it's real nice. It's got a microphone. What we did there, though, is we turned that mic off and we added a mic, a floor mic. And she says it. I've never been in a meeting in there, but she says it does a good job of not picking up tapping and paper rustling and all that. That's what it's made for.
Can we just use these? Can we tie into what we have?
You can, but as we just got in trouble in the county courtroom, the stuff's old. And it didn't work like it's supposed to.
What about if the camera's up there using the camera or the
that's what
speaker
the
off of the speakers there?
Well, in the county courtroom, we actually use the diode camera, but their sound system. But what stinks about that is, or the reason we had to do that is because it's recorded. Everything has to be recorded in county courtroom stuff for the WebEx.
I have to record all the meetings, the meeting stuff.
We do
too,
the
so we
audio, though. This would be separate.
Because they would hear, that's the other thing, is you'd probably, you'd want to tie into audio so you can hear them. Or no, this is just for live feed. We're not worried
live
about
feed.
That part.
No.
So live feed, the mic would pick up your speakers in the room.
Just so
ambient noise. You wouldn't have to actually tie it in.
So if we had the camera with the microphone on it mounted somewhere, mm-hmm. probably have to have some screen here somewhere.
We could put
just for what's on the camera, so that Don could play with the camera. Wouldn't that be fun?
We could use Don's laptop. Have a dock on it, kind of like what you do at the attorney's office, and then that mic, that camera, and everything would plug in that dock, and Don would just plug in a cable when she sits down, and then she's live to that stuff.
Is that something you want to do? Because we're always having you do extra things.
She's already distracted enough.
Well, it is hard sometimes, I'll be honest with you, when you guys are, somebody's saying something, you ask me a question, somebody's saying something here,
and
I'm
telling
to keep,
her, don't listen, I'm
well,
asking you this.
The minutes.
And it is, I'm going to admit, that's why some of the times I have to ask stuff, because I've got things going on both sides.
If it's only live stream, it would be starting it at the beginning of the meeting.
And that part wouldn't be, right. But now, how do you handle closed sessions? Because when you have closed sessions, I have to shut this stuff down. How do we do that?
Once you shut your computer off, the camera's dead.
I don't shut my computer off. I just pause the mic, the recording, and then I shut the mics off.
Pull the plug, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can tell because that camera kind of wakes up. It points at the ground, and it goes, and it points at you. And then when you shut it off, it goes back down. So you know when it's off.
Okay, so.
Do that again?
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Is there something that comes up, though, that if people are watching this in California that says, we're in closed session now? I mean, because otherwise your screen's blank, right?
Well, that's all done on, I'm just talking hardware at this point. That's all done on software. What you choose to stream it, be it YouTube or Facebook.
Can it be streamed on the website?
That'd be a question for your website, right?
Don't know if we have that.
But you'd have to have software that would capture that video and then post it on your site. You have all kinds of options on software.
Check and see.
Is that NACO that does this?
No, MIPS.
MIPS.
If
they're
we go YouTube or Facebook, can that link be put on the website?
Yeah. You
and
just
then
click
they
on
just,
the link and then.
That would probably be easier.
But then you still you're still going to have an account with a page and.
Yeah, you'd still have like a Facebook page. So when you click on that link, it's going to take you to your Facebook page. And then if you're doing live video, that's always at the top of the page.
Sheriff has a Facebook page already. We wouldn't need another one.
I'm sure the clerk's office could set up a Gage County Facebook page that we could run that off of.
Do we have one now?
No, we don't. We have veterans one, but I have thought about it, especially during election time, to have some things that are available. But we got to have somebody that can.
Yeah, that's
just be in charge of.
Other counties have Facebook pages, but I don't know who they have. Manage it.
It would
you need somebody
be.
Designated to manage it. Or
who does your Facebook page, Sheriff?
Jeremy.
Oh, Vaunce. Jeremy Vaunce.
That's really important.
to maintain it. That's a really good tool for us.
That's your website or your web page. What about your Facebook page? He does that as well?
Probably be good
post
to have
your own stuff.
Yeah, it'd probably be good to have it anyway, just for posting like notifications and meetings too, because paper's kind of a dying, or well, like for what people read anyway.
Joe, you have that service?
No, I don't even know. Update my own Facebook page.
Dave, you look like you had some questions or comments.
No, I really don't.
Okay.
He's daydreaming about his family reunion.
Do you want to think about that, Joe? What we're looking at probably, I mean, we've got room back here for a roll-down screen or something, if we have something for people to see.
Right. So the streaming is one thing. That's just a camera and a... And then if you want to show something people here, that's another.
We're not really looking...
What if we just use that wall there, Joe? That's access point for everybody but Terry.
Yeah, we'll use it anyway, so don't worry about it.
If we had just something to live stream, is anybody looking to put stuff up for the public to see? I mean, that was something we wanted at one point in time, so that we could have a big drawing of the 1 in 6 map. Or
could you do that on just these two walls? Because then it would take care of us seeing and them seeing. Like Gary said, just
You'd have to, for the people watching at home, you'd have to then move the camera to see that.
That's part of the advantage of being here.
You know what I mean? Or, depending on the software you use, some of the software allows you to just share a document. You say, share that PDF, and then the PDF takes over the camera.
I think that'd be...
But that's, again, something that Don will have to do.
We're getting
Let's just long cumbersome to do all this stuff.
Can't we just have an overhead projector? We have something.
I don't think it's
try to put documents on it.
I've been in enough conference calls where it's just
a share screen.
Yeah, it's simple. It's really easy.
But what stinks for her though is that screen.
Maybe it's not Don.
Right.
Our attorney doesn't do a damn thing, so they can do it.
She didn't even hear that.
She's ignoring.
You know, the bad thing is, though, like, we get a document, it's not digitized, so we've got it in our hand. How do we feed it in there?
I mean, I could run it. It wouldn't be that hard to run it from here.
But how do we get the... Oh, you mean if you turn the camera... But how do we get it on the screen?
It's not turning the camera, it's just sharing your screen.
Yeah.
So if you had something, a document...
Like they hand us this today... We don't have it digitized onto the computer.
You could ask when I was at Lancaster, they have a screen deal that sits on the table, and it's so if you want to share a document, you just put it on there. It's like it looks like the old projector stuff, in high school.
Fish reader.
You can share that screen then through that view.
Don,
well, if it's like the Zoom meetings I've been in, if Don's computer's being used. And I'm saying Zoom, for example, if there is a document we want to share and it's on her email or in her computer, she can just bring it up on the computer and it would go on.
Right, but what stinks is if that screen for the public, you show it there, that becomes a second monitor of Dawn's screen. So if it's mirrored, she has to stop taking minutes, open that document, drag it to that screen, go back to the minutes.
Okay.
But on WebEx, you say share. It's on there.
Yeah.
But if not, that's different here.
Okay.
Because this would be a local screen, not a...
Okay. All right. Well, then the other... Now, this may be an outrageous idea, but what would it... for Dawn to have one of her office people, is it Michelle, that helped to actually be here to assist her during the meeting? So maybe that takes too much time out of her schedule and... And like I said, it may be an outrageous idea.
It's going to have to be somebody else because she's the one that's in charge over there.
While you're here.
Okay. The sign things and, you know.
I'd be curious on how Lancaster, because that was pretty slick how they do it. And they got the screens and that thing that they, I don't want to know, like,
what kind of software. Well, it's similar to district court.
I know they have an office program. I mean, they have some robust programs because I talked to Corey a time or two, but... Pretty good money that goes into
something.
We don't have to.
We spitballed pretty good. Let's just let Joe come back to us with something.
We want to be able to live stream Elmo or whatever if we have documents so that we can put it onto screens. Camera operator guy. We could do what?
An Elmo is mostly going to be physical paper. If it's digital, you'd want a computer.
I would almost say we've got copies of everything physically every meeting anyway.
We've got the office right across the hall. If we had to take a sheet of paper, we'd send it over there and have them digitize it and send it to us. Have it up, scan it on to us right away.
Wouldn't be that big a deal. For live streaming, do we need to have any documents up? Other than if we aim a camera at it. I don't either.
I think just if somebody's presenting, you can use that thing and switch screens.
Now, if we can live stream, can we make that into a Zoom then also? If it's just the board wants to Zoom with someone in particular?
So like these machinery dealers and stuff, if rather than having, they can't be here personally, they could come via Zoom to present their bid.
Our engineer, like we've talked, driving down here, hanging out, going back.
Right. Save us a couple hours.
Would you come up with some really good ideas? Think of any issue that we could potentially have, fix it, and then get a proposal.
Right now you're thinking just one screen right there.
Two screens.
One on each side.
Also, as far as like the pole, mm-hmm. What about two cameras? Well, we're going to use that one, aren't we?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Because that one has no audio, so then okay. You're trying to pair.
And I'm just trying to think here how it... But then you'd have to have a split screen so that people that were viewing could see.
Yeah, WebEx gets kind of hairy with two cameras. You can do it, but it likes to flip on wherever the audio is coming from. Well, we're only going to have one audio feed from your speakers, so they'll have to manually flip the camera too. You know what I mean?
Biggest thing is that they can hear us. I mean, show the room, hear us.
Structural.
We can't.
Yeah. And this is all able to be shut down.
It has to be a building
together.
Say one step at a time. You just try it the primitive way.
The audio is going to be the more important.
I'm talking about, from here, because when
I think the plan is
the audio will be on the camera.
Just take a good picture of us and make that the
background.
The visual. And
if that camera sat right here, I can see everybody. I see a pole, but I can see everybody, and I can see the back of this person's head.
Dave, do we need this pole?
We do.
Okay.
Good answer, Dave.
Can you beam to span it?
We got on this side of the speaker.
It's actually carrying maybe. The load. There's a big beam up above, but this pole continues.
Supports that beam.
Maybe we could do like Chevy does with their backup cameras that you see around the horse trailer.
Yeah. Listen to what he's saying. You can see everybody. The pole doesn't matter.
Yeah, like right now I can see everybody's face, and if I get on the backside of these speakers, that webcam will pick up the audio coming out of the speakers.
All right, bring something really awesome for us. Think you could have something in a couple weeks?
I can have something today, but two TVs, webcam. Are we still planning on Don running it or separate computer in here?
Don or Gary, I would say separate unit, not on this computer.
Does that make sense? Can do it too.
Or Hackspeed. So one of us, can we make it so that that could be moved around, or it has to be in one spot?
The wires all come to the...
Okay.
There'll be a good...
I'm going to need to have, if it's here, I'm going to need to have two, because I get in and access my computer so that I can give them information. And if I'm running a camera, I'm going to need another computer here that just stays just with the camera stuff then.
You think over there on the end there? Terry, you want to do that?
This end or that end, one of us can do it.
Can you hardwire to two places
here,
or how much more expensive?
I always have to be here in a meeting.
Well, you could, but you'd have
here.
To do like a AV switch in to flip from.
And Michelle, so that's the only thing with having it someplace else. Not that I want to do it.
So if somebody brings a document.
I think it almost has to be here.
Here?
Well, because if... she isn't here, or he isn't here.
Oh, crap, I didn't think of that.
There, you have to have somebody that's always going to be here, so you're always going to have a chairman, and you always have to have someone recording the minutes. So
what I'm hearing is Don doesn't want anyone else to do it.
Yeah, okay.
So it'll go back here, probably. If we put it in between here, I can try. I mean, I don't even do Facebook.
Well, that's why I'm saying, that's my only comment on it is.
We can do a class, too, on this. But yeah, let's figure on it here.
Have attorney. I mean, we do, but I don't think it's a requirement. There's a requirement that we're both here.
I don't see Roger running that.
Yeah, let's run it over here. One or the other can do it. You or I could do it. That makes sense.
I mean, she was going to be here.
I never thought of that.
You have to come, you trust me with technology, huh?
Yeah.
I can push a button.
Yeah. You should tell Roger, though,
that
he was volunteered to run it. Let's
I am going to tell him. I'm going to leave with that when he gets back.
By the way, you were volunteered.
You should never miss county board meetings again because...
You can't miss them again.
I got a burger and candy jar in my way.
Did you say a burger?
Bergrin.
Oh, Bergrins.
Even worse.
I do too, but it doesn't say Bergrin anymore. It's plain.
Don? It might be scraped off there, but
no,
it's still
a... square one. You don't even have the round one, so it's gone.
It's round.
Oh, it is round.
It's exactly the same as the burger.
All right. I thought I switched yours to a square one.
So in a nutshell, what's on the screens will only be if someone here wants to present something, right?
Right. Or we won't be on it because it'll be live streaming.
Or web in, would you let them talk? Yeah, or web in if they are physically attending the meeting. Like presenting in the meeting, because if they're just watching the live stream, you don't care to see the numbers of people that are connected via Facebook.
Well, if they Zoom, if they were to Zoom in, you could share the screen, couldn't you?
Could we make it so they could Zoom in or live stream?
That's how Lancaster ran it. It was just Zoom.
But you pay for Zoom per people getting in.
I agree.
But don't we already have it?
Yeah, but you have a license up to a certain number. That's what happened
ours
with the
free.
City because they only had 100, and then when they had that meeting and their capacity was full, you don't know how big of a license that you have to get because of how many are going to log on at that particular issue.
Let's not Zoom right now. If we do Zoom, we could do it on our computer. And if that's all tied here, is there a way we could plug that Zoom into those screens and make that person here?
It would just be a mirror image of what's on the...
So we would
but
be
you're,
able to...
you're mirroring anyway with the computer.
Yeah,
you have the ability anyway.
Because it's a separate computer now. Mirroring Dawn's I wouldn't recommend because she might forget and have something...
Inappropriate. Typical.
Yeah. I was going to say private.
Oh.
We are recording, you know, here.
You probably want that a separate machine. So
Live stream, if we can do that, that gets it to where the public can watch if they want. If we have those TVs in an Elmo, then we can put...
An Elmo's like a projector where... just like an old school overhead projector, but it's digital.
Well, yeah, Don's right. If you can come up with some options. What we're wanting is to be able to live stream. Maybe if we can morph that into Zooming with individual suppliers or something, not with the world, because we'll live stream and everyone could watch, but we won't be interacting with everyone that way. But they can still watch what we're doing. So live stream, tie up the screens to Zoom or to documents. And then if you have any other ideas that you think we might need, control station right up here so somebody here can do it.
I have one question with that. So basically we're going to have a set computer that can switch screens and that will basically mirror, or you can switch to your Elmo or switch back and forth. So realistically though, you could almost, so that Don's not on the hook completely. I mean, I put the computer there too, but you can get a cable long enough that you can move it around and...
You could do
Terry
wireless,
could Terry, yeah, we could run that on. Cord over here, and Terry could do it. Or
shouldn't we? That would be somebody else might be filling Terry's seat someday.
And they can do it from there. Great shot, because I assume we'll put a screen right in front of you.
Okay.
Wouldn't you think? So you don't have to, like, if you're entering passwords and stuff, you don't have to look that far to.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to see it.
I'll
have to.
But you like, it wouldn't be a set thing. You could just run a cord across here if we had to, or behind, or
teen lines
there
had cords all over
wall
the house
here that we could
what's that?
Did you have
put
teen lines?
Put plugs on each.
Oh,
or
when
something.
Phones used to be connected to the wall, and you had to.
Run
sorry.
House.
Darn it.
Okay, we got enough now, I think.
I don't think so. They'll pick up the audio from the speakers. We'll send them audio. We'll run an audio cable from that computer into that audio rack in there for them to hear.
Okay, so now everything will still, they'll record on my recorder, whatever we're doing, talking stuff, because I record and download this onto the website.
This won't change. This will still go in.
That's the problem we had in the county, that old system. The problem we're having in the county courtroom is what comes through the computer audio is not picked up by your mic.
So if you go to a live feed into Facebook, why couldn't you just download that onto your county?
You could do that, too, or you'd have the video feed.
And what kind we have of, to talk. We have to get this so...
I got the hardware ideas. We just need to figure out the...
logistics.
The logistics and the software behind it, because the software behind it that you're going to choose to present with might have some features. And a cost, too, like a probably subscription.
All right.
I can figure out the hardware.
No, awesome. Thank you, Joe.
No.
Now I'd like to go into closed session at 10:27 on the clock necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual for personnel reasons.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn. We're in, please vote. 7 in favor. We're in closed session.
Done before he closed the door.
Would ask for a motion to come out of closed session. At 10:58 on the clock.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Dorn. Please vote. 7 in favor. Anything else for the good, it's bad, or otherwise of the order? If not, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor, with Lytle voting no. Motion carries. We are adjourned at 10:58.
Why wouldn't somebody go with me so we keep Jurgens here a little longer?
We should have.
Good luck.